and I'm excited first to welcome my co-host, Frank Fiore. Frank, how are you? I know you're excited about our guest. Again, military. Frank, you speak so highly of the military, and you always love talking to them, don't you?
Yep.
Our
veteran.
As a former veteran yourself. Yeah. William Yeske joins the show. William, thanks for stopping by, and tell us why you wrote your book.
Oh, thanks for having me. This was just something that, quite honestly, was said by one of the guys on a hill in Afghanistan, you know, 10 plus years ago, where he kind of mentioned that, you know, guys, 10 years from now, we're going to see a book with Yeske's name on it. And I completely shoved it off. Like, no way. And it's almost like he spoke it into existence, because there was another story that came out, and some of the guys were like upset about it, but they felt marginalized. You know, they're like, this isn't the whole story. So it was really one of us that needed to break down and get it together. And it was something that I really should have done from the start. But, you know, this other book coming out was a fantastic push in that direction. And the ripple effect has been great, you know, from that one. There's actually some other guys that are from that particular battalion that have been pushing out their stories as well.
And see, that's fabulous. And stories are amazing. And to be able to put something out there, and everyone told you, Frank, they kind of manifested it for him, right? Told him, hey, they put it into being. Once you put it into words, somebody's mind believes they can do it. Isn't that true, Frank? When somebody says you can do it, then that person's willing to do it.
Right. You just keep plugging.
Exactly, William. And how long was this process of writing this book? If you said, you know, to getting it out finally published.
So the initial manuscript, this is going to blow your mind. In the initial manuscript, it does me every time I say this, but that story was so locked inside. I told my wife, and I locked myself in the office 2 weeks to write the initial manuscript, and then, you know, brought it to the publisher, got the publishing deal, and started going through that editing process. And we got it out to market within a year.
Wow. And there you go. And that's not as long as you thought it would be in, for sure. And different things and like that. And, you know, it's something. Now, the process of getting the word out about this book, what do you think, why should people read the book?
Really, throughout the whole project, there's been a few different things. It's really been multifaceted. And, I wrote this for the infantry guys on the ground, the other guys that were there with me. It was really to memorialize these stories and stuff, and kind of took a little bit of the opportunity to say, hey, look, I had my own mental health struggles through there. I sort of pushed it aside and said, no, there's nothing there for so long. And then in writing this, that kind of bubbled up in the process. So it's really been good for a lot of the guys that were there in showing, you know, it brings this stuff up and they're like, you know, there's something that still exists. And I kind of destigmatized that aspect of going to see somebody about your own issues. And so I think it was one of the shows I was on recently. He put it, you know, Andy Stumpf actually put it perfectly. And he said, you have to deal with your crap before your crap deals with you. And, you know, he's absolutely right. Through this, it's been so rewarding, and it's been awesome to have other guys come forward and say, you know, I'm seeing somebody now within the VA, or I, you know, I took that next step, or I'm establishing a better relationship with my children and with my family, because I'm realizing that these traumas and stuff exist. And it's been through this peer-to-peer connection and reconnecting with the guys that it's been awesome. It's been unbelievable.
It sounds like it. What do you think, Frank?
Yeah, I'm very lucky to have that happen that so quickly. Normally it could take, who knows, years to get a book published. And who, by the way, was your publisher?
This is Casemate Publishing. So right around the corner from Philadelphia there. So a Pennsylvania publisher in Haverton, Pennsylvania. So Casemate. And yeah, they're also in Oxford, England, too. I know some of it. I got a call from England at one point when I sort of put the guys on the airborne timeline. And I said, hey, look, this needs to happen. We weren't going to actually hit the date that I had put out there. And we made it happen, though. We made it happen. And it was cool because the date was significant. The release date was actually the anniversary of our first firefight we experienced in Helmand Province. So there's so many things weaved throughout this. You know, I mentioned to you the stuff at the museum, that guys came forward, the pictures. You know, the social media project and stuff would not have happened without these guys. It's not a this thing is not me. You know, I wrote it, yes, but it's the culmination of all these guys, and it wouldn't be without them coming forward and helping out. And that's what makes this thing so special. And I want to push this forward for other guys out there to do the same thing.
Yeah. And that's so great, the point you make. But talking mental health, at the end of the day, you went through a heck of a lot, man. And thank you for your service. And how have you continued this recovery process from being there?
It's sharing. It's showing your own, being vulnerable and being, hey, look, if I can go through all of that, but then revamp my life or find the people within my life to support and surround myself with these people that are supporting it. Like, it's something that we want to bring these other guys into the fold. And I already have on some stuff. You know, it's been fantastic. And the more that we push this and the more that we talk peer to peer and bring these guys together on this stuff, that's the key right there, is community.
Absolutely. It's such a amazing situation to be able to tell a story. Frank, is not true, Frank, anytime you go in and write a book or write something, especially if it's personal, you really, it's therapy for you, Frank, right?
That's correct. Yes, it is. In fact, no matter what kind of book you write, it is therapy. It's you're creating a world, and you want to, and you're making the world work for you. And if you're having any kind of problems or issues with yourself personally, you could use that writing to give that has a vent, a place to vent what your thoughts are.
Yeah, and that's so key, William. I guess when you hear your story and your specific things, who do you think have been the best influences on you since you've gotten back?
Oh man, there's just, when you have a unit like this and a group of guys like this that are so dynamic, there's ones that stand out in there. But I mean, you have everything from, you know, I have in the afterword, my command sergeant major, that was at the time that was removed from command during the book, he wrote the afterword in there, you know. But to be able to reach out to him sometimes and get advice, or some of these other guys out there, like that was mentioned in the book, David Huff, you know, to where this veteran peer groups thing, they saw a need and they jumped in there and they used their skill set to make it happen. I mean, all these guys have just, they're so inspirational, and to pull these pieces from it, and then to also see the commander at the time and stuff, they're still in, and to take these lessons from there and integrate it into my own life. It's just something that's an ongoing thing, and it's building on it. It's not even that. And the other author too, actually, the other book that's out there, Ben Kessling from the Wall Street Journal, he actually was one of the guys that pushed me to put this down. We had interviewed for another book that he wrote, and he was like, you know, you need to put these stories down. And here we are, you know, a year later.
And
what's the significance of the title?
So that was something that, I mean, it's really been shared throughout. You hear that from stories in Vietnam and everything, but that was just one of the things that there's in the book, there's a picture of it, but when you entered Cop Johnston, so Combat Outpost Johnston, he was one of the guys that was killed in action the day after Christmas. So it was December 26, 2009. And I had literally stepped over that landmine, that the initiator for that landmine that took his life. That's just how close it was. But it was like a reminder every time you entered this compound, there was a big sign, you know, and it said, it was emblazoned, "Damn the Valley," on there. And you could see it in the picture and stuff. And it's Cop Johnston and the whole "in memory of." And that phrase just started to become something that the guys would utter whenever we had memories surface of the Argandab, or whenever we talked about the Argandab, or someone posted something on social media and it was "Damn the Valley." Mm-hmm. And it's just something that's stuck with so many of these guys, and it's relatable across the entire global war on terror. You know, you've heard it echoed from the Cornegal Valley too. And it's just that that military end of things in being caught in this valley where you're essentially walking through minefields every other day, and there's no escape. You're just in it. And the enemy has the, you know, not in this particular valley, but that's the military significance of a valley. You don't want to be in the valley. You want the high ground.
And the people that were in this are the considered significantly chances to look out for PTSD or a bunch of different things, right?
We've been flagged, apparently, and I didn't understand this concept. It was a little bit more pulling it apart and stuff, but this particular unit and other units that have been through there have actually been flagged by the VA, you know, the Veteran Affairs, as being a high risk unit for PTSD, for suicidal ideation, and for multiple things like that. And that's really, if they have a record of this and they know that this is an issue, these are the things that we should be addressing. This is something that there's a mentioned towards the end of the book, something that really helped affect me. Operation Resiliency was something that was put together as a reunion style thing to get these guys back together in one room, but with clinical psychologists on standby in case anything arises. And things did. Things absolutely did during this. That particular retreat definitely ended up saving lives. And one of the craziest, most amazing things is that, you know, these guys are getting back together June 20th down in Charlotte for a five years after the original. This was the pilot program for that. And it's since been looked at by the VA. They've held a few others. It's done great things across the board. And here we are 5 years later, and there's not been any other reports of any other suicides since. And wow. I think that's community built in. I know it's unbelievable. And it's something that we want to bring light to, and we want to continue doing. It's amazing. We're stronger together.
Frank, any more thoughts for us?
Yeah, you know, authors like you that put what their thoughts and their feelings into print, it's not only a catharsis for yourself, but it's a catharsis for other people that served. Yes. And you're doing important work.
Frank, thank you. Coming from you, that's huge, you know, and that's something that I started integrating into the book tour stuff. You know, you guys saw there was another podcast that was out there with one of the guys that was there. That was actually that one with Andy Stumpf, Nick Armendariz. And he's someone you should probably talk to, Neil, down the road. Okay. But he's the program director over there, continuing work with Operation Resiliency. And I was like, you know what? You were there. I'd love to bring you on this show with me, you know, and highlight what you're doing, because you're giving back into the community. And it's something like that. And it takes something like that and showing others that, look, this isn't about me. This is about all of us.
But you put yourself as not one. It's not about you. You know, no. You experienced it. You're thinking of the community and how your book will make an impact to help mental health, especially those that have been in wars and stuff like that. And we're seeing it again. Our troops are out more again, and we're not talking about it. And they're going to go through the same stuff that you went through. So and how do we change things? Yeah.
And Neil, that's one of the things right there. I know, like, I don't mean to cut you off, but I mean, I'm just hearing this in my head is the easiest way to tell. Is this something from, it was a litmus test that our old commander, Frank Genio, Lieutenant Colonel Frank Genio, used to put out there. And it was the arrow of responsibility. Where does it point? Does it point up at leadership? Are they everything towards me? Or does it point down? Are they trying to enable everybody below them? Are they trying to empower the people under them and bring them up to their level in order to take that job over? And that's, once you start doing that, and once you start looking at things that way, it becomes very clear who's got their right priorities in order.
That's fantastic. Frank, fantastic guest. It's again, something to think about where we are today because of people like you and, you know, and William serving and our relatives have served. Again, they have to bring this up, especially when we're in a war time period now, Frank.
Unfortunately, yes, we are. And we don't know where it's going to end up, because right now we got all kinds of conflicts going on and the leadership is not there to understand it.
Yep, exactly. That's one of the things with leadership that was very frustrating for the general there that wrote, General Ben Hodges, that wrote the foreword there, the exact same thing. You know, that's we're in a period of leadership that a lot of people just don't know what right looks like.
All right. So where can people purchase the book and learn more about you? Where can they go?
I mean, you can go anywhere on mainstream. You can go on Amazon, Barnes and Noble, but there's also something kind of neat that I integrated into the official website for signed copies. So damnthevalleybook.com. You've got, I have kind of the link tree on there, so you can see the social media. You can see pictures from the Argandab from those guys. I don't repost things hardly ever. I don't throw memes out there. This is for the book purposes, and this is to bring that these guys' story to light. So you have it there, but for every two author copies that I sell, I can get one copy to the guys that were there. And that's kind of my goal, is for this reunion to have 150 copies for these guys and to hand them over to them and say, hey, look, you know, this is your story. This is for you to put on yourself and to bring your kids down to the Airborne Museum down in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and see the flag that's actually on the cover is now down within the DoD historical archives. And you can see it down at the museum down there, along with a bunch of other things that were featured in this story. So, I mean, this isn't just a book. Like, this is really just a piece of history.
All right. We appreciate it. Thanks again, William.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
All right. You're listening and watching the Neil Haley Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.